blessing. Didn't that bless your soul? All right. Thank you. And thank you for coming to see your mama all the way to Grant Hills Baptist Church. Some of you come a long ways, like out of country. Miss Ann, you and Don raised a bunch of kids. Yeah. And they're scattered serving the Lord. And I thank you so much for your testimony. I'm going to speak about you tonight, today, about legacy. A mother's legacy. You just saw a little bit of her legacy. Would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter? Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we're going to be reading the first two verses, 1 and 2. And moms teach us many things. We all know that we're generally, most things are caught. They're not taught. They're by example. And I would have to say with my mother, who I spoke to yesterday, because I know I wasn't going to get to her till afternoon. I thanked her for being so sacrificial. If I've learned one thing, she taught me that it wasn't about me. Because I was the youngest of five, and everything was about me. Being the youngest, huh? And so I had to be taught that, because my parents practiced on my older brothers and sisters, and then they got me right. And the older ones will always say I was spoiled. I think they just finally figured out how to raise kids. That's way up for debate. I hope they listen to this sermon online. But anyway, but our mothers teach us so many things. Let me give you a few phrases that might help you remember what your mother taught you. Mothers teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Huh? Anybody got that one? Your mama told you? Yeah. Right. Mother teaches us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come running to me. Right? Right? Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Huh? You get any of those? Yeah. See that? There's one hand up right there. I love vegetables, so I ate mine. Mothers teach us about religion. Now, my mom did just say this one. You better pray that comes out of that carpet. I've heard that a bunch right there. All right. Mother teaches us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Wow, that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Mothers teach us about contradiction. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. That's tough, isn't it? Yeah. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Right? I've never been able to do that. Mothers teach us about perseverance. You're going to sit there until you eat every piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about genetics. Man, you're just like your daddy. I've heard that one, huh? Mothers teach us about the weather. It looked like a tornado swept through your bedroom. I've heard that one in my house. Lastly, mothers teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Right? Right? We've heard those before. When we're young, I would say very few, if any. And maybe when we're old, hold as much influence over our children as moms do. That is why when the football player waves in the camera, he says, "Hi, Mom." Daddy taught him everything, but he yells out, "Mom," because she's the big number. That is why when an airline was going down and they finally found the little black box, the last records of the last words of the pilot was, "Mom, I love you." Hey, it happens at the worst of times and at the best of times. I remember I was running out of my brother's house. He's 10 years older than me. I was 13, he was 23. And I was picking on him and wanting to play with my older brother. And I ran out of the house and he's chasing me. He can run faster than me. But he couldn't climb as fast as I could. So I hit the tree in front of his house. And I jumped up there. I knew all the trees in my hometown. Of 300 people, I knew all the trees. And I was a climber. I was a tree climber. And I climbed up that tree, and I'm scooting up that tree. And he says, "Oh, you think so? You're going to run out of space." And he took off after me. And I'm climbing up that tree, and about 12 feet up, there's a dead branch. And I knew about it, and I thought, I'm going to skip that. But I'm not going to tell my brother. I remember going up. I was a good 20 feet in the air. When he reached that branch, he went, "Snap!" I just remember looking down at him doing that. And I'm like, "Oops." And he fell about 8 feet, and he hit the first big branch, about that big right here. Hoo-ah! You know, and he rolled over. And fell the other 10 feet and hit the sidewalk. Whack! It actually went chuck. Chuck! And I went, "Oh." And it knocked the wind out twice, so he couldn't get his air. But he had enough to stand up and go, "Mommy, Mommy." I still laugh about that. You know, here he is, 23 years old, and he's yelling for his mother, married with kids, at the worst time of life. We do that. Our mothers are so dear to us. Today I'd like to speak to you, mothers, about your legacy. The one that you're leaving, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I preached this to my parents 2 Sundays ago. I was home in Montana. I got up Sunday morning to do my prayers and to get ready to go to church, and it was a complete whiteout blizzard, 70 miles an hour, coming out of the north, out of the Canada. We're just 60 miles from the Canadian line there in Dutton, and it was just, you could hardly see across the street. And so I said, "Well, we'll just stay home." And my daddy says, "Why don't you preach to us?" And so I had, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And I preached this sermon. And I got to thank my mom and dad for their legacy. I got to thank my mother for all she's done for me. I got to thank my daddy for leading our family. And I felt like church, I had closed a book in my life. One of those days. And so as I preach this, I remember my mom and my daddy, who are going to church today in Great Falls, Montana. And so my children today thank the Lord for my mom and dad and for Hope's mom. Because they see the impact and the legacy in our life. And once we part from that, the legacy dies. And it's tragic when that happens. And so mothers, how can we live out this legacy? There's eternal consequences to this. And so as we read this scripture, I'm just going to break it down best I can as your preacher, to say, let's look at how we can have a great legacy. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And let's read this great scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, and now that's therefore because of all of Hebrews 11, all these witnesses of living a legacy for the Lord in faith. Not all perfect, not all wonderful, but all faithful. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for such conciseness. Lord, thank you for just showing us in just a few words our life before us. Whether we're a mother or a father or anybody here today, how we're going to live our life as a legacy for you. May you open hearts, open this preacher's mind and heart. Give me liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, mothers here and everywhere and in this scripture are to leave a legacy. And we see that here in the first part. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that's a legacy, church. This is not meaning that your mother, who maybe have passed away, some of you very soon, just recently, are sitting here watching you. That's a nice thought. It's just not biblical. If I'm going to go to heaven and I got to turn around and look down here on this earth, this isn't going to sound like much of a heaven to me. But what it means is their example is a witness. C.H. Spurgeon, at 12 years old, in one of his sermons I was reading, said, his mother said, "Okay, son, I've told you everything. You've heard the entire gospel, the full gospel of the Word of God. I've read the Bible through to you, and we've studied it. And now, son, it's time for you to make a decision about Christ. And if you don't, I will stand in judgment against you." Wow, that's a tough mother, but that's a mother who knows the gospel. And he would not come to Christ that day, but he would at 16, 4 years later, and he would attribute it to his mother. The legacy of a mother has enormous potential on her children. Many people have come to faith in Christ just by remembering the faith and confidence of their mothers, displayed when they were children. Abraham Lincoln said this, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." One of the greatest presidents in the history of the United States of America. His mother was a godly woman who taught him the Shorter Catechism and the hymns of Isaac Watts. She died when John was 6 years old, and the little boy resolved to honor his mother's memory by growing up to be a preacher. He would go around about to do it, but he'd be on a ship one day, and he thinks it was going down, and he said, "The God of my mother, would you save me?" And he did. His name was John Newton. And we have amazing grace today because of John Newton's mother. C.H. Spurgeon says this, "Those who think that women detained at home by her little family is doing nothing, think the reverse of what is true. Scarcely can the godly mother quit her home for a place of worship, but dream not that she is lost to the work of the church. Far from it. She is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty." C.H. Spurgeon. How many of us still can hear our mother's voice in our heads as we make decisions and think of things we must do and accomplish? How many times do we say to ourselves, "Would my mother be proud of me if I did that? Though she's dead, she speaks." The other day, I had the privilege of just talking to my mom, and I was having an unusually stressful day. And as I heard her voice on the phone, I went, "Oh, Mama, your voice just calms my spirit. Your voice reminds me of my childhood when things were so wonderful, when there was no responsibilities." Well, there was. I had to go to bed at a certain time or something. But it comforted me, and I could hear her in the back thanking God. Moms sacrifice so much, especially good moms. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms. When she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard, she never reached her destination. And when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it about her baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and well. She had mounded her body over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her mother's love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to be manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and without doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. To this day, he's ranked number third as the greatest Prime Minister of England. Your legacy is a big deal. So how can we have a great legacy? How can we have a legacy that will last all the way to Jesus in the throne? Well, he shows us here. And the first thing is, with any legacy, is moms, there's responsibilities. You have some responsibilities. And And I tell you what, if I stood all the moms up today and said, would you give me a rundown of your responsibilities, we'd be here till next week. There's so many responsibilities mother have. I talk to my wife often, and she tells me the rundown of her day, and I'm just so thankful I can leave and go to church. She's got so many things to do, and their tasks and their responsibilities. But the Bible's good about just squaring away just really what matters. I know the clothes need to be done. I know they need to be washed. My wife called her mother here a few years ago and said, Mama said, what you doing, Hope? And she goes, oh, Mama, I'm so tired. I have all this wash. I have all this to do. She says, I wish I had that. I wish I could go and have kids again. Have a little dirty house and little dirty feet everywhere. She wanted it back. And so we have these responsibilities, and many mothers struggle with all the tasks that are set before them. And burnout is a real issue for mothers, especially with small children. However, the Word of God says right here, mothers to really be concerned with two items of responsibility for you to leave a lasting legacy. And so there's two here. One is what? To lay aside every encumbrance. An encumbrance. In the Greek, it's angahos. It means Greek for burden or weight. This is an issue of what is holding you back from being the mother God has called you to be. It really is a matter of priorities, moms. It's this encumbrance, or what the King James would call weight, is not necessarily a bad thing, a sinful thing. It's just the thing keeping you from being the mother you ought to be. It is the good thing, taking time from the greatest thing. It is the childish thing that keeps you from the mature thing. It is the thing you like that keeps you from the thing you should love. It is the expensive thing that keeps you from the precious thing. It is the right now thing that keeps you from the eternal thing. That's what it is. And the Lord will speak to you, and He speaks to you all the time. Moms hear from God more than anybody. And so mothers, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, we all know what that might be in your life. But this is not just another mother problem. It's a human problem, priorities. What really is going to matter? What's going to, at the end of the day? Are we going to believe the Bible and scores of great mothers who went on before us that put away the burden of this world to embrace the promise of God? Or are we going to follow something else? Let me give you a question. Is there an encumbrance, mother, that needs to go for you to be the mother you're called to be in the Word of God? Not in this world, but in the Word of God. Well, not only that, it says the sin which so easily entangles you. We all have that. Don't have to be a mother to have an easily entangled sin. And when it comes to this thing that is clearly not up for debate biblically, but a violation of the law of God is particular to your weakness. That is why it easily entangles you. It's something that is easy for you to do wrong. The word lay aside means to cast off, walk away from it. I mean, get rid of it like an old coat and leave it. It means to repent, to be done with it, because it's dragging you down emotionally, spiritually, and physically. It needs to be gone. In most cases, this is an issue of believing a lie, really. Really, if you come to me for some counseling, I can save you some trouble. I'm going to ask you, what lie are you believing, and what are you going to do about it? Because that's what happens. See, last Sunday we had Celebrate Recovery Sunday, and Megan said something that Will Galkin said. You do what you do because you want what you want because of what you believe about God. You see, when we start believing lies, it starts playing out in our life. Let me show you how it plays out. Sally has made so many mistakes in her relationships that she thinks that God is so displeased with her that she will never live up to the standard of other women she sees in church. Sally believes that God is at times punishing her for all her sins, and she will never be the woman she should because she has ruined everything. This is what Sally believes about God, and it's a lie. She doesn't know that God loves her just how she is, and God's going to redeem her. This makes Sally want and be desperate for some kind of confirmation that she's okay and she's doing okay. So when she sees a weakness in some other woman or person, she's very vulnerable to speak and gossip about her to make herself feel better about the lie she has believed about God and her. You see, Sally does what she does because she wants what she wants, because of what she believes about God. I want to ask you, mothers, are you believing a lie? That you're not precious, that you're not valuable, that God is directing you, that God has a great plan for you and for your children in your home. If you don't believe this, the devil will pervert you to believe a lie, and it'll cause you to go down a horrible road. And you men, you need to really help your wives know how special she is. It's your job to encourage her. Because if you ever stay home one day and do what she does, you will appreciate her much more. And so to have this legacy, we have these two responsibilities: to put away the weight that drags us down, to put away sin. And then it says here that we have a mission set before us. It says, let us run with endurance the race set before us. Man, we're in a race. We're in a race, and it ends at the throne of Jesus Christ. We have a race, and it says here, you need endurance, and endurance requires patience. And mother, to have a legacy, you have to have patience. This is your mission, that God is calling us to a race set before us, that this life is a race, but it's not a race for who gets there first, but the race is about getting there. The finish line is in the life of a godly mother is at the foot of Jesus Christ. The mission that you, mother, must make it to the finish line with your children, with endurance. Endurance, boy, it takes patience. And this race, really, it's a race of consistency. And if there's one thing hard to do in all of Christian life and all of any kind of discipline, is consistency. Same, same, same. I think sometimes my children may or may not come to me to talk to me because they don't even know what I'm going to say. That's called consistency. They need to know that you're going to be consistent. We cannot get too anxious about things and get in a hurry and fret and worry, but we must pace ourselves and trust the Lord. This is called to run a life, mothers, in such a way that is consistent with the Bible and in your life. This is setting a course for yourself to make it to the end of life spent fully for Jesus Christ and His glory. To lose this race is to not finish this race. To give up, to fall in despair, to leave your faith in God. And let me tell you, mothers are tempted because life's hard on moms. And you think, wow, I've done so much. Is it really going to be worth it, this sacrifice I've made? But know this, mother, when you walk away from the Lord, you do not walk away alone. You don't walk away alone from the living God. You will drag you and your home and your children out of the race that will have eternal consequences. Oh, mothers, you have such power to move the world. It is so true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Don't give up on this incredible power you have in the lives around you, the influence you have. And if it's not good, let's change it. Right now, let's turn it around. Let's give up the thing that's dragging you down. Give up the sin. Get on mission and follow the Lord. I want to say another thing about a great legacy. It says here that not only we have responsibilities and not we have a mission of consistency living for the Lord, but we have unity. Two times it says, let us. Let us. The word us means more than me. To leave a legacy, Mother, we must understand our responsibility to run through this life with endurance. And by the way, not by yourself. It says it twice in here. Let us. This race is a race with others. As mothers, you are to bring those you are responsible for with you on this race. You're not to leave them behind. Don't compromise with this world. I know this world's going to try to convince you that your daughter, your son, you know, all this technology, they just don't understand you, and you just let your kids go. That's not acceptable. You get it in your life of your kids, and you really, really see what's going on in their life, and you call them out. Because we're going to go together, family. We're going to go together with the Lord. And it takes courage, and it takes strength to have unity in a family, and a mother strives for it all the time. I don't think anybody's more heartbroken in a family that there's a breakup other than the mother. The mother is most heartbroken. For a mother, her first priority in bringing others with her on this race is her children and her household. You're not on your own in this race. It's a race set before us. And here is where I would say, husband, you fathers are accountable for this. You're the spiritual leader in the home. You should support your wife in this. Oh, dear Mother, take as many as you can, Mother, with you on this race. As many. From the church, from your home, from your neighborhood. Call them. Get on this race. We're here together. We're here at Granite Hills trying to run this race to Jesus Christ. Lastly, Mother, after I just said all these things of a legacy and then these two responsibilities and this mission and this unity, it seems like a really heavy burden I just laid on you. How can I do this? Well, verse 2 says you can't on your own. It says the only way you're going to be able to do this and have a legacy, it says, is fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know what fixed is? Fixed. All right? The first time I met Hope, I went, fixed. All right? I watched her everywhere. I had to admit once to her, I took her skiing, and one of our first dates, I was driving down the highway, and she had laid back. We had skied all day. And she was over there with her sunglasses on, and I wanted to stare at her. She was so pretty. But I thought I'd be kind of freaky, you know. Driving, looking over here, and she had sunglasses. She could open her eyes, and I couldn't even tell. But I had to tell her before, I was enthralled. My eyes were fixed on you. We have to be like this with Jesus. Fixed. We can't get anything else in the way of our vision. We turn away from Jesus, and it takes us the wrong way. We begin to see, we go where we look. And so it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author. He made you a mother. He made me a father. He's the author of the family. He knows how to handle this. Just look to Jesus. He's our example. And he's author. And not only that, he's the finisher. He's going to take you through. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to give you power in the middle of the night and the crying day. He'll help you. You can call out to him in the worst and best of days. He is the finisher. He's going to finish it. Why? For the joy set before him. He endured what? Oh, my God, the cross. The shame of it. Let me tell you, don't let this world shame you. They want to make you feel like you're nothing because you're not out in the world or something like that or whatever. They want to shame you. Forget that. You're going to meet Jesus one day. It's going to be good. It's going to be rich. It's going to be wonderful. That's why Jesus says, I'll do this. I'm going to go down there and do the Father's will. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to suffer. And then I'm going to take up the shame. Give me the shame. I don't care. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to God. I'm going to the Father. Do you have that same joy, I hope? Forget this world. It's passing away. One of my favorite hymns. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So what? So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?